A senior Chinese military official toured a Chinese warship docked in Djibouti during the weekend and met with the country's president. Well, I've never heard of this country. See up on the screen where the stars at? Djibouti's in the east side of Africa. It's right tucked in there. Right as you come up and you see the, like, where the Red Sea is coming up in there, is right down by Yemen. And it's right tucked in, right next to Ethiopia, just south of the Sudan, which is just south of Egypt. So what's the big deal? I'll keep reading, and here's the big deal. Djibouti, an East African country located in the hot spot by Yemen and Somalia, also hosts a military base for the United States and France. And China is visiting there right now. Security analysts have raised concerns that China, which is in talks about constructing a military base. Okay, there's a very strategic spot right there that's going on. China wants to construct. Now, if China is actually telling us right now in the news that they would like to construct a military base, it might already be there. So far as we know, it could be there. This is why the Russians said, you know, we'd like to do a base on the Mediterranean, and it was already done. Okay, so it could be, this is so funny. This is once again, this is a United States paper. It could be that China is seeking to get more influence in this area. Yeah, that's why you would build a military base. Yep, that's exactly why you would do that. So General Fang, chief of staff of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, inspected the guided missiles for Gate Sanya on Sunday and was satisfied with what China says they are moving forward to doing, which is to come in and set up a military base. The U.S. base Camp Lemonnier in Djibouti hosts more than 4,000 American military personnel currently. It is the largest permanent military base in Africa. Right there, the United States has decided to put its largest permanent military base there. Seems like that's an important strategic area, correct? China has decided that they want to build a military base there. Okay, but I still want to see, what's the big deal? I know it's by Yemen, I know it's by Somalia. Maybe they're just trying to be nice because a lot of Chinese cruise ships go through that area. No, it's not why they're doing that. There are fears that if the Chinese president gets too close, the Djibouti president says that they may be tempted by China to impose restrictions on what the U.S. can do in leaving their base and patrolling the waters off the eastern part of Africa. So why is this such a big deal? Who cares? I've never heard Djibouti in my life. There's only 783,000 people, and it's so small. You had to put a big red star there because we didn't even know where it was. Right? Well, Ezekiel 38. If y'all have your Bibles, let's turn to Ezekiel 38 real quick. These current events are for a reason. I just don't arbitrarily pick one, close my eyes, and say everything's good. There is specific reasons and purpose. Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. Just so you know, Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel is a contemporary of Daniel. We've been studying the book of Daniel. Ezekiel was also in exile at the same time Daniel was, just south of Babylon, writing as well, telling the Israelites how bad they were and what God was doing to them. Exact same time. Ezekiel 38. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog. Okay, son of Gog. There's going to be someone, a leader, Gog, it's a man, who's going to lead of the land of Magog. Magog, as this is a previous study that we did, land of Magog has to do with Central and Southern Asia, including also Afghanistan, parts of China, and Southern Russia. The prince of Rosh. Rosh is Russia. The war of Gog and Magog, as we have established through God's word, is going to take place right around the time of the rapture of the church. Right around the time of the rapture church. Is it right before, right after? We don't know. All we know is there's 10 nations. We're going to go through those here in a second, this current event. these 10 nations are going to come up against Israel. In the book of John, right? In the book of Revelations, John said that at the beginning of the first 42 months, there's going to be 10 nations that come up against Israel, right? Meshach, which is Syria, Tubal, Turkey, and say this in verse 3, says the Lord, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, chief prince, ruler of who, where? Russia, of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn in you back and put hooks into your jaws. I will control what you do and will bring you forth and all your armies. I'm going to bring you forth, your armies, horse and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great company with buckler and shield, and all of them handling swords. Who is going to pull these countries in? God. God is going to say, I'm going to make you, at this particular point in time, come up against Israel. I'm going to do it. This is huge. Verse 5. Who else is going to be in this? Persia, which is, who's Persia now? Iran, Kush is Ethiopia, Djibouti. This is why this is so huge. We just looked at China is part coming from the north of the 10. Now in the south, Ethiopia, Djibouti, and Put, which is part Egypt, Sudan, Libya, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer in verse 6, central Turkey, and all its hordes, the house of Togarma, which is Turkey and parts of Iraq, and the uttermost parts of the north and all its hordes, many people with you. You, Gog, leader of this, be prepared. Yes, prepare yourself and all your companies that are assembled about you and be on guard and a commander for them. So the one name mentioned in this passage in this country, right, there's a leader, his Gog, and he's going to be a prince coming down from Rush. Someone's going to lead attack coming from the north. Once again, this is not the end time battle of Armageddon. This is not the 42 months halfway into the tribulation. You guys understand this? This is before. This is right around the time of the rapture of the church, at the beginning of the 7 years. Because we know the Antichrist leads it halfway through. The Antichrist takes the 10 nations because they tried to attack Israel. It didn't work out. Because God brought them. He wanted to show. See, God's drawn them in to set them up to fail. Why? Because Israel is going to sign a peace treaty. And then they're going to go back to the temple and they're going to start giving sacrifices. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, remember? Start giving sacrifices. Abomination. Okay. Then 42 months into it, then the Antichrist takes 10 nations. Bam. That's part of the 10 toes we're studying right now in Daniel, which is the 10 kings coming up, right, in the book of Revelations. So why is this current event so huge? Because China is coming down, who is mentioned, right? China, who is going to come down, which is mentioned in Ezekiel 38, coming from the north, is also going to help set up shop from the people coming down in the south. See that? China is coming down from the mentioned in the south, which is Kush. So, watch as, and I'm going to start now with current events. We're going to start labeling the countries as we even go through Daniel now. We're going to start labeling the countries. When you start looking at the news and you start reading the words, like, oh my goodness, the word is happening right. If you didn't believe it already, now you're really going to say, okay, so this country mentioned in Ezekiel 38, who is going to come from the north, now they're going to put a military base in the south where the Bible said they were going to come up to attack Israel prior to, right, the beginning of the 7 year tribulation. Does everyone see that? Okay. So Magog, as they mentioned, Magog is Central Asia, which is southern parts of Asia across the southern parts of modern Russia, including parts of China. That would also include the Khorasan area. You guys remember Khorasan? Khorasan would be Afghanistan, Pakistan, and East Iran. That area right here is also included in Magog. It says that area is going to come down. Rosh, which is Russia. Meshach Tubal is Syria and southern Turkey. It says they're going to come down. They're going to come up against Israel. Persia, Iran, Kush, Ethiopia, Djibouti, all the way to the Sudan. They're going to come up north with Egypt. Put, which is Libya. Something interesting happened in Libya in 2012. They were overthrown as well. These countries wouldn't want nothing to do with that up until in 2012. Gomer, which is central Turkey. Oh, what happens in central Turkey? Oh, that just happens to be where Istanbul, and what was before Istanbul, what was it called? Constantinople, which is part of, we studied this last week, when the two legs started separating the Roman Empire, the western part of the Roman Empire was controlled out of Rome. The eastern part of the Roman Empire was controlled out of Istanbul. And it just so happens, Meshach and Tubal, they're going to be coming up, and that's part of the old empires. You guys, okay, I don't want to get ahead. We're just trying to put all the pieces back to what things that we've been studying and kind of put them in. So I'm going to get too excited. I'm going to go off on that right now, but I'll stop because there's so much to go. Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about China tonight because this is where things are heading right now. Here's an inside look. Next clip. Here's an inside look at China's frightening new move to control social behavior. Control social behavior. Is China a democracy? What would you call them? Communist country, okay. The internet has become a tool for the Chinese Communist Party to keep its citizens in place. When you look at China and you look where they're located, to the east, obviously Japan, and then you have to the west, it butts up against India, you got Russia, and there you start flowing right into Afghanistan and Pakistan. But through the web, the government surveils their every move, every citizen's move, and puts them behind bars in prison if their online behavior is not in line with Beijing's sentiment. Now, what does that mean? Recently, Chinese officials began developing a social credit system in which the government keeps what amounts to an internet credibility score on each citizen. Experts discussed the system during the ongoing China Forum in Washington, D.C. The Washington, D.C. official says this is very 1984. Do you guys know the George Orwell, 1984? It says this is going to mark the arrival of an unprecedented information totalitarianism. It's issuing a driver's license for speech. You'll be subjected to point deduction for a violation of speech, thought, and what you search and what you type. Once you have no points left, you get thrown in prison, just like taking your license. As the name applies, the Chinese system holds a score on every citizen and business based upon their social behavior. The things you buy, people you socialize with, are subject for review. Every word typed and posted on the internet will decide whether a person is raising the honest mentality and credit levels of the entire society. In Luke, in Matthew, it says, mothers and fathers are going to turn against their own children. And everyone's going to come up against everybody. And it says that the beast is going to use a system, right? We have to be able to communicate with one another. So there's a system. Isn't it interesting? They're going to monitor every single thing that you do. Every single thing. Accelerating the construction of social credit system is an important basis for comprehensively implementing the scientific development and building our harmonious society. This is done... China says this is done in the name of peace. We have to get rid of people who will speak contrary to government. We're going to go somewhere with this, but it's just fascinating to me that this came up. Now, when we read stuff like this, and you think, oh, this would never happen. This is for people who felt out of place last week with the 98.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Okay, so when you, do you guys know who that was? Dean Martin. Okay, so for the last couple of weeks, from Def Leppard, right, to 98 Degrees, the Backstreet Boys, Ozzy Osbourne, all the people who felt out of place, I wanted to include Dean Martin tonight. You're welcome, right? So when we have these type of, current events that just don't make sense, this is what I think, right? This is what you
have. Ain't that a kick in the head?
Okay, so... I've been playing around the house for the last week, and Kelly loves me. All right, so she'll go, man, why do you think they would do that? And I would just turn that thing on constantly. Ain't that a kick in the head? So, and as the song goes, it's Ain't That a Hole in the Boat. If you guys remember that song? Come on, who knows that song? Sinners. Okay, all right. I'm kidding. Dean Martin is the Ozzy Osbourne of his day. No, I'm just sure. I'm being funny. I'm kind of being funny. All right, so here we go. China tests new missiles. Oh, China tests new missile to destroy U.S. satellites. China, along with Russia, Rosh, along with Magog, is testing new missiles to destroy U.S. satellites. China has conducted a test of advanced new missile that could knock out U.S. satellites and wreak havoc to the American defense industry, indicating Beijing is gaining the upper hand in space warfare. Two defense officials familiar with the reports of the test revealed to Washington on Monday that the test of the Ning-3 vehicle took place on October 30th and was conducted at the missile test complex in western China. Who cares? What's the big deal? Well, they're building a base in Djibouti, which is right in Africa. They're testing missiles to take out United States systems. Okay, China is a pretty big nation, everyone. And they're known for war, right? So when they start moving, I would pay attention. So this should be alerts. I'm not trying to say pay attention so you can't sleep at night because you're worried. I would say pay attention because the Bible's coming alive right in front of you. And this should stir you on to say, uh-oh, Jesus is coming. This is good. I'm ready to go. How many people want to get out of here? Okay, right, see, isn't that good? And you don't mean that because all this life is so terrible. No, our eyes can't even fathom, our ears, and nothing, we can't even fathom what heaven's going to be like. So, man, I want to go. So when you see these things, your heart should leap inside you. Jesus is coming. I don't want to miss this. Jesus is coming. The capability of this to intercept was one of the capabilities of the Hunk 19 missile and employed to intercept high supersonic gliding targets on the offense. It says that China, in the last 6 months, has revealed that it is far more advanced than they've let on. Some experts believe they are 7 to 8 years ahead of where they thought they were 6 months ago. Why? Because have you heard a lot about China other than, you know, the economics and all those type of things? The G20 summits, and it's like, okay, they're the ones that won't sign, and they have all the money, and they've been getting steel since 2005 from the United States, and they hold a bunch of our money. No, China's building up warships. China is strategically placing themselves in Africa as well, which is, the Bible talks about, it's Kush. So, okay, next one. Russia and Iran have finally signed the contract for the S-300 missile system delivery. Ezekiel 38, Rosh and Persia are giving missiles to each other. Rosh and Persia, Russia and Iran are giving missiles to each other. China and Russia want to take down U.S. satellites. China is moving in helping out Africa, who is going to come up from the north, according to the Bible. You guys, this is right in front of us. This is in the news. All these things are taking place right now. CEO of Russian state-owned defense firm says the deal is sealed and done. The check has first been sent to the world's most capable air defense system. Iran now has the most capable air defense system available. Why would you want the most capable air defense system? Why would you want a good defense? Because someone's going to go on offense. Who wants to take out Iran? Israel. Who is right at the border of Israel in the Golan Heights right now? Russia. Russia is selling missiles to Iran because Israel wants to go after Iran. They're getting the best defense system out there right now, the S-300, the air defense system. The contract has been signed. A nuclear deal signed between Iran and world powers early this deal has put Israel and Sunni-ruled Gulf monarchies on edge. Yeah, I'd be on edge too. Gulf country, oh, this is so good. Tehran said, I love this, Tehran. This is what the missiles look like as they open up in the back of the vehicles. Tehran says that the Gulf countries have no reason to feel threatened. I love this. They said that they want to destroy anybody that comes up against them. They're going through. But no one has. Yeah, seriously, it's no big deal what we're doing. So if the Gulf countries are not going to attack Iran, why should they be threatened? Because Tehran says this is defense equipment. Why would we're just buying defense? We're Tehran. Tehran. We are fearful of what people want to do to us. Okay, I guess that was more funny to me than it was to you. Okay. It just makes me laugh. All right. So here we go. Let's go a little national news. Texas court. Texas court to decide if the government can regulate homeschool curriculum. Now, for gay marriage didn't start nationally, did it? It started with the state, correct? State. So, interesting enough, Texas, which has been known to, I mean, Texas is tough. Texas is known, we don't want none of this stuff, but the Texas court now is going to decide if the government can regulate homeschool curriculum. Texas highest court, there's the building right there, will decide whether or not devout Christians can homeschool their children without proving to officials what they're teaching them. It's pretty big. As you guys know, this past September, Common Core has been implemented. This is something that the government's based everywhere. Okay. There's one particular couple, the McIntyre family. They've been in and out of the news continuously over this. They've got an attorney, argued Monday before the court that this couple should not be obligated to detail the curriculum based upon their Christian views to the Texas Education Agency, which is the building pictured. Around 20 years ago, the Texas Education Agency announced that they were done. They no longer would evaluate or accredit private schools. In response to that, our legislature did exactly nothing. So it's like, you know what? Okay, here you go. You want to train your kids? That's fine. Whatever you want to do, hands off. For whatever reason, this is a hot button. It's a hot, government wants to make sure what your children, what Christian children are learning. Isn't this interesting? What Christian children are learning. Ever since September, when the new school year started all throughout Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, they've actually had to, right, you guys do notice they're reciting the Quran at school. Remember, this has been on the news. So now, homeschool Christian, they're not targeting homeschoolers, they're targeting Christian homeschoolers in Texas. So what are you saying, Pastor Grant? It always starts with a state. I'm not trying to strike fear in you. I'm saying if you're a parent, keep your ears open and your eyes open and get involved. Well, I don't like to get involved in that kind of stuff. You better get involved. Why? He said, fight the good fight of faith until I come back. He said, occupy till I come. He said, raise the standard. All these things throughout the Bible. He never told Christians to run and hide. He never told them that. Well, but it seems like everything, you keep fighting. It's not about the result. It's about what you did. It's like healing, right? You pray for someone's healing. Well, what if they don't get healed? It's not up to you. It's up to God. You says, do you believe I can heal them? Then go lay hands on them and pray that they be healed. That's it. That's my responsibility. It's up to God to the rest. That's the condition. Occupy till I come. I am going to continue to talk about politics. I'll continue to talk about school. I will keep talking about the Bible and how it should go in every single facet of life. You're not going to shut me up until Jesus comes. We should never go run and hide. That's what the enemy wants. He wants as many people as he can before Jesus comes back. How is he going to do it? He's going to get into the schools. He's going to get into government. He's going to start shutting things down. He doesn't want the gospel to go out. He wants to control the internet in China because he doesn't want them saying anything. There's revival going on in China, but no one wants to know that. You know that Christians, thousands of Christians a day are getting saved in China. Don't think that this is not has nothing. Oh, this probably has no. It's probably just a coincidence. No, it has everything to do with what's going on controlling the internet over in China. You guys, this isn't about. Oh, I just decided. Well, you know, it seems so nice. No, this it says at the end of time they're going to hate you for this. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to stop what you say. They're going to stop what you do. They're going to stop where you have to go to work. They're going to allow you to say this. They're going to control what you can learn at home. This is how the enemy works. He's coming. He's fighting you. So you and I need to keep fighting the good fight of faith. What is the weapons of our warfare? Well, drop to your knees, start praying, and then go get involved. Well, no, I'm just going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. You keep praying, and then you get involved. Well, no one. Okay. You keep praying, and then you get involved. Speak at work. Speak wherever you go. Get involved. Be a part of something bigger than you. Well, stop hunkering down and just start taking care of yourself. Go put your neck on the line. Well, I don't want everyone to say, well, I purposely got fired tomorrow because you told me to go put my neck on the line. That's my reward. I got fired. No, it's not about getting fired. It's about going, doing something that's bigger than you. Go sharing the gospel. It's not hiding. It's going, go out. We come out from behind. The darkness should be running from the light, not the other way around. We need to pray because to me, if I want to teach my kid about Christianity at home, I can teach Christianity at home. Amen? And you know what I think that is? When I start hearing about stuff like that.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Okay, sorry. All right. That's a kick in the head. All right. Here's some good news. What's that, right? You guys ever run to an In-N-Out Burger? That's not prevalent here in Michigan, of course, but In-N-Out Burger is in Irvine, California, is our headquarters. Has anyone ever been to an In-N-Out Burger? Huh? There's some smiling faces everywhere. Look at that. Bacon double cheeseburger. Well, look at it, with two different types of cheese. Isn't that credible? It is, and it's all fat-free. There's no carbs. No, it's all organically grown. Those are free-range French fries. Those are free-range buns. I mean, it's just incredible. They do everything. So now, what is this, a current event? Of course it is. All right. Look at that burger. It's laid sideways. It's a 14-patty burger. Isn't that awesome? It's all protein, you guys. Seriously. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to the next fast to break it. Okay, so In-N-Out Burger. You know what? There's a little red cup thing going around the internet. What's that about? You guys know what that's about? Starbucks. People are upset because Starbucks is not spreading the gospel. I'd never known Starbucks to spread the gospel. How many drive a Ford vehicle? Are there Bible? Did Ford send it to you with Bible verses all over that Ford vehicle? But you bought it. GM, Chrysler, are there scripture verses all over it? No. I'm not saying you can't make a stand and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying that there are companies that do stick up for righteousness. Just because someone doesn't, Starbucks doesn't claim to be a Christian organization. Who listens to WRIF? Anybody? Wow. Just come on, you guys. You're going to see me after church, right? Okay. Why is that? WRIF, right? You guys all know Between the Toes, Rock and Roll, right? There's the growing up, okay? WLLZ, Wheels, WRIF, you guys, it's okay. All right, everyone know had a life before Jesus. Okay. So WRIF. Don't get mad at WRIF if they're not playing Michael W. Smith. I wouldn't call up WRF and say, man, you know what? Could you play the Gaithers later today? I was just hoping. That's not what they do. We have to make sure we're fighting the right fight, right? I'm not expecting this world, I'm living in a Babylonian system. I'm to be in it, not of it, right? So there's an expectation when someone doesn't know Jesus, they're going to act a certain way. I should not be alarmed when someone acts contrary to the word if they don't know the word. The Bible says you should be alarmed if someone claims to know the Christ of this Bible and then acts contrary to the word. So what I'm trying to bring you now is a great story of the In-N-Out Burger chain, because I just love burgers, as America is favorite. In-N-Out Burger is America's favorite, it's called limited service restaurant. This is consumers, national restaurant news. Well, what's the big deal? It's a Christian organization. Do you guys know that? On their cups, on the bottom of their cups, include Revelations 3:20, John 3:16, Matthew 6:19, 1 Corinthians 13:13. They claim to be a Christian company. So guess what? Don't be alarmed if you see Christian Bible verses on the bottom of their cups. But at the bottom of Mountain Dew, I don't expect to see that about now. The Mountain Dew, though, it is dew from the mountain, which is all organic. It's so... The My wife is going to talk to me later. Okay. The practice of including Bible verses on the bottom of the cups at In-N-Out Burger started in the 1980s under the president, Rich Snyder, who wanted to find a better way to reflect the company's Christian beliefs. The burger chain has also developed a following with big names in the food world, including CNN's Parts Unknown, Anthony Bourdain. Does everybody know who that is? He eats really weird stuff and he goes around and, okay. Not that hamburgers are weird. They're actually God's gift to us. Okay. This ranking picks and ranks 172 restaurant chains based on food quality, cleanliness, and atmosphere. The results are compiled with 42,000 responses to an online survey issued by the publication. In-N-Out scored the highest ranking that you could get. The highest ranking that you can get. And from food quality to service, this marks the burger chains topping the survey for the third straight year, followed also by Chick-fil-A, both Christian-owned organizations. Now, where did they score high in? Customer service, quality, and it says an excellence was found in both chains. Why am I talking about this? You know, in Daniel was promoted above in the Babylonian system because there was an excellent spirit about him. See, it doesn't matter where you go. Whatever job you've been called to do, doesn't matter. You have an excellent spirit about you, and people will take notice. Guys, we're talking about burgers. Burgers and fries. People took notice, and they elevated them. This is not a Christian paper writing this. They're saying, wow, Chick-fil-A, another Christian-owned company, was once again in the top three again. McDonald's. Did you guys know McDonald's is not a Christian organization? Okay. They failed to crack the top 100. Barely beating out Chuck E. Cheese. Okay. Not that Chuck E. Cheese is wrong, right? Hey, a little skeet ball, a little fries. Okay. So, the Bible says you will be elevated because of an excellent spirit. So, in the midst of what's going on in China, in the midst of what's going on, all this news, you're still required and still commanded to live a righteous life. And it's not one hiding and running away from things. It's to be excellent in everything that God has called you to do. Well, I don't like the job I have right now, and that's really not ultimately where I want to be. It doesn't matter. God placed you there. Be the best that you can be wherever God's placed you. Be the best you can be. Because in the midst of all this junk that's going on, I know we can get depressed and we get down. So, there we go. The goat was backed by popular demand. All right. It's just awesome. I just love preparing. Okay, everyone got your notes? Everyone going to get a burger on the way home. Amen. Chili cheese fries, In-N-Out Burger. Chili cheese fries. Oh, it's all from heaven. Dew from the mountain. It's all there. It's all in the word. Okay. Prophecies of Daniel Revealed, Part 6. Prophecies of Daniel. Why do we study the Bible? When we study the Bible, we're also proving that the Bible is true. How can we prove the Bible is true? Because when you study the Bible, you're not limited to a particular passage or a particular book of the Bible. You go to all the books in the Bible because the Bible confirms the Bible. This is why we study the Bible. Because when you study the Bible and you get two or three or four different passages in totally different places of the Bible written thousands of years apart, and bam, there everything's lining up, it's prophetic, and we see that it has happened, bam, your faith increases, right? God's word is true. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. Test and see that the Lord is good. Wow, okay, whew, okay, wow. If he's right on about this, I wonder if he's right on about the rapture. I wonder if he's right about heaven and hell. I wonder if he's right about there's going to be a final judgment. Yes, there is. So why do we study the Bible? Because there's a pattern. When we study the word and we see that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, when we see that we have to be righteous before him, when we see that there's a rapture, when we see there's a final judgment, when we see that there is a thing called sin, and we get back to this, remember, it's a good thing to have a Bible in the church. When we get back to this, we see that, and woo, that's why we study the Bible. Why? Because it gets us more excited, because it's the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth in you. The more that you have of a good thing, you desire more of that thing. Last week, we looked at what is considered to be the greatest prophetic dream in the Bible. Daniel chapter 2, when you look at the interpretation of that dream as we've been going through it, it interprets itself. We're going to do more of that tonight. The head of gold was Babylon, the first empire of the Bible. The Babylonians were followed by the Media-Persia. Media-Persia, once again, is the land area. The Medes and the Persian is the people group, also called the Medo-Persia Empire. That Medo-Persian Empire with silver had two arms. We'll go over this again tonight. I'm just reminding you as you move down that statue. The Medo-Persian Empire had two arms and they were silver. Third Empire, which was the hips and also included a little bit of the thighs, right? That was the brass, which represented Alexander the Great. Following the Grecian Empire, they had the legs of iron. Those legs were the Roman Empire. And the two legs is because Rome split east and west. The western ruling part when it split was Rome, Italy. The eastern part that ruled the Eastern Empire, going out as far as Iran, Iraq, all that area, was controlled out of the Istanbul area. So when you get to the time of the end, which is the feet, this is when it all starts to get interesting. The feet are a part clay, part iron, have 10 toes total. In the biblical interpretation of this very end of days thing is there's going to be 10 kings or 10 empires coming up against Israel at the time of the end. Five kings are going to be from the eastern empires, five from the western, not the western as we think about, oh, so it's going to be Canada, the United States, and Britain. No. The Western empires of back in that day, the Western empires would be considered almost all the way to an Italy coming back through Turkey, all the way even wrapping around in the Mediterranean, as you can see in Lebanon and Egypt, and even far out as Libya. Okay, so you have that part, and then the eastern part was controlled further out in Iraq, Iran, and Syria. Okay, so the time of the end, I believe that the clay toes are democracy, and that the iron is going to represent Islam. And we're going to talk about that in detail tonight. Iron represents fighting and war in the Bible. Iron represents fighting and war. When you think of Islam, I don't know, I'm going to research this some more next week. Kelly sent me a couple links. I just want to make sure, because it just sounds too far out there. But ISIS has got some videos out about a softer, gentler ISIS. Seriously, they're promoting themselves, and I want to confirm it's true, because it's once again I could play "Ain't That a Kick in the Head," because it doesn't make any sense to me. But here we go in Daniel 2:41 in the Amplified. Daniel saw all these empires. And once again, Daniel is writing this. First, he's in captivity. He's in his early 20s right now. He's writing this down. He's writing about empires that are way off in the future. He saw the feet and the toes, partly of baked clay, the potter, and partly of iron. It shall be divided kingdom. There shall be in some of the firmness and strength of iron, just as you saw the iron mixed with miry earthen clay. Some translations, it says ceramic clay. Verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle and broken. As you saw the iron mixed with miry and earthen clay, so they shall mingle themselves in the seed of men. Once again, this is talking about the end and the toes, okay? So you have clay and you have iron. Clay representing, which I believe is the democracy or these democracy ideology, thoughts, nations. And then you also have, then you have the iron of Islam. So verse 33. You saw Islam mixed with the ideology of democracy. They shall mingle themselves in the seed of men in marriage and bonds, but they will not hold together. Not marriage in the sense of husbands taking wives, but they will try to bond together and coexist. Remember, we're talking about empires. Did not the United States try to bring democracy into Iraq? Right? do we not take over countries or take out dictators and take out leaders in order to bring democracy? Are we not trying to mingle democracy with Islam? Halfway through verse 43. But they will not hold together, for two such elements or ideologies can never harmonize. 2,600 years ago, Daniel, he had no idea. You guys understand this? Daniel, I'm just telling you, I'm just writing what God's telling me. Iron means fighting in war. The clay, we looked at that last week. Okay, verse 44. And in the days of these final 10 kings, that goes forward to Revelation as well, set up a kingdom shall never be destroyed, nor shall sovereignty be left to another people. It shall break and crush and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand over. So the kingdom of God's going to come down and it's going to crush every single kingdom. So democracy has tried to mingle in with Islamic nations over the years and even recently in the Middle East. By the United States and other westernized nations, they're trying to come in. But Daniel wrote 2,600, he goes, you know what, you're going to try this at the end and it's not going to work. Why? Because they have two different ideologies. There is, right there is the five that Daniel saw. And then he said, there's coming a stone that's not cut out with hands. There's coming Jesus Christ and the empire or the kingdom of God, which is not a man-made empire. This is not cut out by stone. Man didn't create this empire, and that stone is going to crash that image and the statue from the vision that they had. That gold, that silver, that brass and iron, all of them are going to crumble, and Christ is going to become the great mountain of rock, and it's going to fill the whole earth. That's right out of the Bible. That's New Testament, Old Testament. So an important part of the study for all of us, once again, is Daniel did not compromise. I don't want to just get locked in, okay, this is end times, end times, end times. It is end times, but it's telling us how to act in the end times. Daniel didn't compromise. Wherever Daniel was called to be, remember, he was captured by Babylon. He was working in a Babylonian system, but there was an excellent spirit about him. You may be called to a workplace or an environment or a family. You know that your family may not be perfect. Just click on that for a little bit. Your family just may not be perfect. I don't mean to make light of it. I'm just saying some are just terrible. But you have to have an excellent spirit about you. Can't compromise. No matter what's going on, it gets frustrating. People go through divorces. People are like, what do I do with my children? And they got support and child support and all these things. Like, through that all, you need to pray, God, give me wisdom on how to navigate these waters, because I want to find faithful and I want to have an excellent spirit about me. Why? Because you want to be elevated in front of everybody. You want to be elevated in front of your ex-husband and your ex-wife and your kids. You want to be elevated. Well, how can that happen? Well, because God's no respecter of persons. What he did for Daniel, he can do for you. Yeah, but you don't understand this situation. Daniel was in a Babylonian system, captured. He didn't even know their language. He had a lot of obstacles to come. So we have to understand the whole story of what's going on here. This is an end times message, but it's an end times message for you and I and how to conduct and live our lives. Daniel did what was right, even though there were natural consequences that weren't comfortable. When you're obedient to God, you know why he asked for obedience? Because you wouldn't naturally do it. I command you to be obedient. Why? Well, because naturally it's not easy to forgive someone who's did something horrific to you. Right? Anybody? But you're commanded to forgive. Why? He says, because then your Father in heaven, so he can forgive you. That's why you study the Bible, because you can't hold on to unforgiveness. He says, when you hold on to forgiveness, he can't even hear our prayers. So we're praying. Think about this. We pray. It's the most insane thing. I know people who hold on to unforgiveness. You know what? Well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because I was one of those people. I was very angry at one of my sisters. Very angry. But it only lasted for 2 years. Anybody else? You don't have to raise your hand, but think about this. Well, that's too bad, Pastor. I'm sorry. Think about it. We've all been through something where we didn't like somebody close to us. I thought she did something that was horrific. Didn't want to talk to her. And one day it hit me. God's, you know, I'm praying about business and my marriage and my kids. He goes, just so you know, I don't hear you. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm living righteous before. He goes, no, you're not. You won't forgive. Well, can't you just overlook that? No. This is an end times, Daniel is an end times message for you and I. You have to make sure that you're ready. Because Luke 21, it says to pray. It says, don't be fearful. When you're praying, say, God, please help me. Give me peace at night. And he goes, but I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Because you got unforgiveness. We have to get rid of unforgiveness. We have to be found faithful with an excellent spirit about us. We are commanded to be obedient because we don't want to do the easy thing. We want to do the easy thing, which is to run and hide. But God can use us in a miraculous way if we don't compromise. If we do what is right, even though it's difficult. If you're righteous, if you're striving to be like or practicing to imitate Christ, he can use you in a mighty way. So the study about Daniel is more than about, I wonder what countries are going to be involved. I wonder what the symbolism is. I wonder when Jesus is coming. And if you come, I think Christmas Eve, I'm actually going to give the date when Jesus is coming. I'm kidding, everyone. Man, lighten up. Okay. We're trying to increase attendance on Christmas Eve. So, okay. Wouldn't that be funny if we put that out? Come Christmas Eve and find out when Jesus is coming. That's funny. I'll strike that from the video because people take me serious. Okay. So this is about being created for such a time as this, right? The Bible says we're created for such a time as this. It's not to just to take care of yourself. So God puts you on this earth for this time in the midst of all what's going on. We hear the news. We see it. We understand it. Oh, my goodness, that's Ezekiel 38 coming alive. This is Daniel 2 that was prophesied. That lines up with Revelation 17. Oh, man, I get this. And oh, wow. Everybody, let's just go back home and stay inside and wait till Jesus comes. It's so close. No, he says, no, go out there with no compromising. Go out there, go back to school, go be your teacher, go finish college, go back to high school, whatever it is. Don't come home and sit and rot. Go back to where I've called you to be. In Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed anymore to this world, this age, fashioned and adapted after its superficial customs. Be transformed and changed by the entire, get rid of everything. Well, I don't think forgiveness is a big deal. Yes, it is. The entire renewal of your mind, it's new ideas and it's new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Daniel didn't conform and he experienced the perfect will of God. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to be obedient. I can trust you, Daniel. Here you go. I'm going to trust you. 2,600 years from now, people are going to have to hear this, and I trust you with it. And it's all because Daniel had an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding to interpret dreams, Daniel 5:12, to solve knotty problems. He distinguished himself amongst every single person, presidents, and that's princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, as we continue the symbolism, now we're going to reveal the prophecies of Daniel by breaking down the dream. Breaking down the dream. So why were these particular metals used? Why didn't Daniel just say, hey, you know what? It's going to be Syria. It's going to be Ethiopia. It's going to be Why didn't he do that? Let's go back to John when he wrote in Revelations. You guys remember when he wrote Mystery Babylon? Everyone knew at that time he was referring to the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire had him in captivity. They joked, at the culture of that day, joked about the Roman Empire as being the Babylonians, because the Babylonians had did the same thing 600 years earlier to Daniel. So as Daniel is penning this, God's telling them to use metals. Daniel's just writing down these colors of metals and the parts of the body that they represent, not knowing, wow, guess what? If this Medo-Persian Empire reads this 600 years from now, and they read that they're going to be crumbled, and the people who are captured by them know that they're going to go down, you don't think there's some leverage there? You don't think that they would destroy these manuscripts? Sure they would. You don't think? See, God knows from the end, from the beginning. This is interesting enough. Here we go. So what was there somebody who understood these metals? So remember, Daniel chapter 2, verses 8 was written to the Gentile nations, right? The Babylonian nations, the Chaldean-speaking nations. It wasn't to the Israelites, it was to those people. So why gold? Why silver? Why brass? What is it about these particular metals that God wanted everyone to see? Notice the statue and the image of a man. He didn't just use a pile of gold, a pile of silver. He used a man. There's specific reasons why. Because in later chapters, you'll find in chapter 3, he just had an enormous pile of gold statue, 90 feet tall. Now, amongst the ancient Persians at that time, there was a belief that heaven had seven layers and all represented by seven metals. This was the belief system back then. Okay, not the Christian, not the Jesus followers, because there wasn't Jesus followers back then because he wasn't in existence. Okay, so it's like, oh, well, didn't they go to Christian church back then? Okay, so the ancient Persians, there was a belief that heaven had seven layers and all represented by seven metals. Lead, tin, copper, iron, mixture, silver, and gold. The metals got softer and more expensive as you went up. You guys see that? This is back in the day. This is what was going around. That's what was taught. Many of the ancient religions and beliefs believed that these seven levels of heaven, because the theory had gone on forever and ever and ever. Kind of like the earth is flat, right? Well, that's been going on forever. The earth is flat. So I guess it already is. In the 8th century, there's a Greek poet who said from 750 to 650 BC, he divided humanity up into five ages. Now remember, King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon during this time. Three separate invasions of Jerusalem, right? 606, 598, 586. Well, what's the big deal? Why are you doing this? Because King Nebuchadnezzar and that empire lived at the time that this information was going culturally, okay? It was the last invasion where Jerusalem was taken, the temple was burnt, and the treasures were taken into Babylon. It's when the Jewish captives were taken back to the city of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar got all the wealth and gold from the temple in Jerusalem. They got a huge infusion of cash, right? Daniel 1:1, the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. He took it. So these five stages of humanity were known at this time in Babylon in 586. So everyone at that time in 586 understood that this famous poet at this time, and he spoke for the king and the nation. He said there's five ages of man: the golden, silver, bronze, heroic, and iron age. This is what went around. This is how they spoke, that it was from the top going down in descending order. So King Nebuchadnezzar would have known this, and what if God used these particular metals because the Babylonians were already familiar with this? You guys see this? Remember, just like how he speaks of the eagle, why do we know the eagle? It's America, the bear, Russia. So he uses imagery that we understand at that time. He's writing in Aramaic, chapters 2, verses 8, because he's speaking to a certain people. These people understand the five levels of humanity. This is the gold. Is everyone with me on this? Okay. Earlier on in the study, I said that God also uses symbolism that people of that day were familiar with. These metals mentioned would be metals that everyone in that day understood what was the most precious and what was first. So why did God use or assign these metals to these empires? And I'm not going to use the poet as the foundation. I'm going to use scripture and history. Why did God want Babylon to be gold? Why didn't God make them iron? Why did God make Media Persia represent silver? So here's some history to understand the metals. First, why did God choose gold to represent the Babylonian Empire? Jeremiah 51:7. The reason we're doing this, we need to understand the Bible. Understanding how it's written. Jeremiah, the end of Jeremiah's life actually kind of crossed over Daniel's a little bit. But remember, Jeremiah prophesied 150 years earlier, 100 and something years earlier, what was going to happen, right? If Israel didn't repent, that they're going to be in captivity. Isaiah prophesied if Israel didn't repent in the future, that they would be taken over by Babylon. So Daniel is writing and Ezekiel is writing. But here's Jeremiah. This is huge, you guys. Jeremiah already prophesied, because you keep sinning, Israel, you're going to be in captivity to Babylon. And here's Jeremiah once again prophesying. Babylon was a what? In the Lord's hand, making all the earth drunken. The nations drank of her wine, therefore the nations have gone mad. Jeremiah is referring to them as the gold empire already. He's already referring to it. In the future, he's saying it. Daniel gets a dream. He says, this is the gold empire. In Jeremiah 51:7, Babylon is called the golden cup in the Lord's hands. When they invaded Jerusalem, they took billions of dollars of gold. Billions of dollars of gold. They took all the riches and came back, and they were known from then on as the empire of gold. Jeremiah prophesied that they were going to be known as the gold cup in the Lord's hand. The Lord was going to control them, right? Just like in Ezekiel 38, he says he's going to take the hook, right, into all those nations, and he's going to make them do whatever they want. Babylon, I'm going to make you do whatever I want you to do. So the image that King Nebuchadnezzar created in Daniel chapter 3 that everyone had to bow down to, he wanted everyone to bow in front of that, and it was made of gold. The passage in Daniel 3 takes place during an economic summit. That's in history. And all who saw it saw this enormous monument of gold. This is not the statue in the dream now. This is just an enormous pillar of gold. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know, everybody, this is what's important to me. I got gold. I conquered people. I take it, and I'm going to make this huge thing. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits or 90 feet tall. And it was 6 cubits or 9 feet wide. It's set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set to gather together satraps, the deputies, the governors, chiefs, stargazers, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, lawyers, all the chief officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then all of them, including the chief officials, gathered together for the dedication of the image that King had set up, and they stood before the image. Verse 4. Then the herald cried out loud, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and language, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the dulcimer, bagpipe." Okay, right there, the bagpipe. That just cracks me up. Out of all those instruments, the bagpipe? Really? So they came out in these Scottish kilts, and they're just, okay. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. Okay, and every kind of music, ain't that a kicking? Sorry. You are to fall down and worship the golden image that the king has set up. Do you not think this is a foreshadowing of the time of the end of the beast? You have to worship, you have to fall down as soon as you're. So there was something that was created. Oh, Isaiah said this in Ecclesiastes, what was happened before is going to happen again. There's nothing new under the sun. What we're trying to do is establish God's word is what he said is true. The prophets in the Bible, guess what? When they were writing it, this is the great thing. Did you know that Daniel, he's not referred to as Daniel the prophet in the Bible? Because he had to be tested and made sure what he said came true. We call him prophet. Daniel is a prophet. But at the time, he's penning this stuff and see what happens. He's a prophet. So the book of Josephus. Now I want to, oh, Pastor, this is blasphemous. No, it's just a history book. This right here is a history book. See that? So for free reading, that's what I like to do. Okay. Josephus, I want to show you this. This is a historical book. It's right there in your writings. Josephus was born in Jerusalem, 37 AD. He became a historian, writing principally about the Jewish people until his death in 100 AD. And there's four of his books, the War of the Antiquities. I have all those. And all it does is provides knowledge of the New Testament era, and there's Old Testament writings as well. He puts it into a storyline you can understand. It's not Bible, it's a history book. Does everyone understand that? It's just like you'd read a history book. Josephus is chronicling 1st and 2nd Chronicles, right? In the Bible, 1st and 2nd Chronicles is writings, right, about 1279 through 461 BC, about an 830-year span there. Chronicles, it just chronicled the history of what happened, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and all those guys. So in what you find in the statue of gold mentioned in Josephus, book 10, chapter 10 and a half, he actually writes, when King Nebuchadnezzar made the image of gold whose height was 90 feet and the breadth of life and set it in the great plains of Babylon, he made an image of gold. In the history books, not just the Bible, in history books, we can see that this image was all made of gold. It was the same height. This is how it was. So what I'm saying is we're looking at the Bible, we're looking at history. We're putting this together, and we can see all throughout history the Bible is true. The Bible is telling us the truth. When people prophesied and they went forward 600 years, 800 years, 1,000 years, and then we have the luxury of saying, that came true. It came true. Oh my goodness, it came true. This is why we study the Word. Throughout the book of Daniel, gold items are mentioned like tables, candlesticks, and it's all in history books chronicling the Babylonian Empire. They were always connected to, not just in history, but in the Bible, with accumulation of wealth in gold. When you paid Babylon for anything from the provinces, you paid in gold. Now, when the Babylonians were defeated and Medo-Persian Empire took over, they got what? The treasures, the gold. But the Medes and Persians gave the temple treasures back, right, under King Cyrus. So why are the Medes and Persians then known for silver? Because that's what they used as they developed a tax system. They used silver. Okay, how would Daniel have known in the future that this new empire that was going to take out the one that he was under captivity under was going to use silver as their main form of money and taxing? So once again, proving Daniel, the prophecy of Daniel, proving God's word is true. Well, if God's true about that, then I believe that God says the rapture is going to take place. I believe that the cloud. This is okay. I'm gonna get sidetracked just for a second. You gotta understand this. What we're trying to do here. You read the Bible, and some people have a hard time with Jonah and the whale. Right? Has anybody ever had a hard time with Jonah and the whale? Anyone? Okay, that's right. So a fish swallowed a guy up. 3 days, he's in the belly of a whale. Regurgitated him back out. Good as good. Right? Done. Moses parts the Red Sea. Red Sea. Wow. We quote that like it's nothing, right? Oh, yeah, that's Moses parting the Red Sea. People don't even go to church know these stories. We believe that, right? There are so many miraculous things that happen in the Bible, and we believe it, right? We just, man, there's a woman with the issue of blood, prayed for her, bam, she was healed. Oh, I believe that. Man, Pastor Chuck shared a devotion today. Man, they tore apart this roof, and these four guys lowered down their friend. Bam, he was healed. Woo, yeah. Then we get to that part in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the clouds part, and an angel toots a horn. And I'm supposed to believe that I'm going to float up in the sky. People have a hard time with that in the church. People have a hard time with the rapture of the church. I don't believe that to be. That's why there's different doctrines out there that teach something contrary to this. They've decided to throw the Bible out for that portion of it. Why? They're trying to make the Bible palatable. But if I believe this and this and this and this and this and this and this is true, why would I not believe that part? I believe that someone can hold up a rod and a sea can part and 5 million people can walk across. And then it closes back down on the people against them. I believe that. I can believe that 5 million people can walk around the walls of Jericho every single day for six days. And on the seventh day, they do it seven times, and that's when the walls come down. They didn't come down on the fifth day, on the fifth time around. They came down just like he was told and instructed the seventh day. Well, we believe that because we can quote that. Why? Because it's in history books. Well, that's history. Prophecy has been chronicled as history. This is a history book of the prophecies of this book. Are you guys seeing this? Okay. when we read this gold, the silver, those were prophecies, and now we can look back and look at history and see that the Bible was true. So if the Bible is true about every single thing else, why would it not be true about 1 Thessalonians 4 when the horn sounds and we're going to fly out of here? We get excited about people getting healed, people coming to Christ, but okay, the rapture thing, I don't know. Why are we here? If I don't believe that to be true, because I believe the whole thing is true. So when we look at the prophecies, why are the Medes and Persians? Why are they known for silver? Because, how did Daniel know this? Because God told him. But how would he have known that? He did it. The Holy Spirit told him to write it. But King Darius the First organized the empire to tax districts to pay tribute. There were 20 governorships historically that are underneath to collect taxes, and they collected it in silver. 600 years later, you guys, this is crazy. How did he know this? Because God says, I'm going to prove to you. So I write in there how they paid in silver, how the provinces came in. Why? How do we know this? Because history has recorded it. Not just in the book of Josephus, but all over, all in history. The empire had so much silver that they used it, their leading military men used it on their harnesses of their horses. They had solid silver horse harnesses. You guys, we got so much silver. Hey, what do you want to make next? I don't know. Let's make a horse harness with the silver. Can you imagine that? Hey, what else you want to make with silver? I don't know. Let's make a sheet made of silver. I mean, I don't know. Let's go sleep on a bed made of silver. They were loaded with silver. So why did Daniel write this Medes and Persians, this empire is going to be made of silver? Because they were used silver. Then we come to brass. Why is Greece brass and bronze? Greece, 330 BC to 146 BC, hundreds of years after Daniel made the prophecy, they overthrew the Medo-Persian Empire. Alexander the Great set up the headquarters in Babylon. This is the third straight empire that set up their headquarters in Babylon. Interesting. Mystery Babylon. So the first three empires out of the Bible prophecy, and at the time of the end, Mystery Babylon is mentioned as the empire that's going to come down from the north. Ecclesiastes says what happened in the beginning shall happen at the end. There's nothing new under the sun. What I told you would happen from the ancient times in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 will happen at the end of time. Brass or bronze, same thing, interchangeable in these passages, was developed and perfected by the Greeks. They perfected Corinthian brass. Anybody heard of Corinthian brass? A lot of people work with Corinthian brass at home as a hobby? I'm just kidding. Okay. The doors in the temple at Jesus' time were made of Corinthian brass. They were not of gold. It was Corinthian brass. It was high-polished Corinthian brass. At one point, Corinthian brass was more valuable than gold because it was hard to get. It was a mixture of something that was hard to do. Historians say that there's three different things that were combined to make Corinthian brass. Gold and silver were added to brass or bronze. Same thing. Interesting. To make Corinthian brass, which is more expensive than gold, you took gold and silver, which represented the first two empires, you mingled it with the brass to make something on the outside. It was shiny. Why did they do that? So it wouldn't tarnish. Ezra 8:27, 20 basins of gold worth 1,000 derricks, the two vessels of fine, bright bronze, precious as gold. This stuff was as precious as gold. This empire that they made was even better. What did they do? Alexander the Great combined every single thing from the Babylonian Empire, and he took everything and combined everything from the Medo and Persian Empire, and he brought it together. See, the empires in here build upon what it's gone on before. It takes all their riches, and it takes their evil, and it builds on it. So if you get normal copper or bronze, it tarnishes, but the Greeks figured out a way by firing it a certain way and then polishing it to make it certain valuable. So they took elements of all these things, they shined it up their own little way and presented it and said, isn't this really pretty now? So these empires, remember, happened after Daniel's interpretation. The Medes and Persians, 538 to 330. Greeks, 330 to 146. The establishment of this is proving God's word is true. Now, the Corinthian brass, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I put the notes in detail, but this brass or bronze was a mix of gold and silver. It's in that red highlighted box. Alexander the Great took over the areas of Babylon and Medo-Persia and combined the new empire, mingling both nations, which is going to happen again at the bottom in the 10 toes. So the Corinthian brass is a picture of Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire annexing in the Babylonian empires and the Medo-Persia empires, which is proven in history books that he did this. Daniel had no idea this was going to happen, but it was proven. Picture of Alexander the Great, because they had really great cameras back then, and that's what he looked like. So, I'm kidding. I just doodled that earlier today, and I just thought I'd make a picture. All right. To me, this is amazing how God could select metals, and we look back at history, and we can actually see how these empires were known for this, but God used it in such a way that he's protecting the writers and the writings so they weren't get thrown away. These manuscripts were preserved because they didn't mention the specific empires, because those empires would have thrown it away, just like when John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos in the New Testament. So when we come to the fourth empire, this image that King Nebuchadnezzar dreamt in Daniel chapter 2 of the legs of iron, the feet part of iron and part of clay. One of the translations says ceramic clay. Now, this is important. They saw the feet and toes, part of potters, the clay of part iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, as though sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. The toes and the feet were part of iron, part of clay, and the kingdom shall be partly strong, but partly broken. And I want you to skip down to verse 43 in the Amplified, right below that. So they shall mingle themselves in the seed of men, but they will not hold together, even as iron does not mingle itself with clay. This iron and clay mix will not stick together. This is why it's not just there, but throughout Scripture and history, I do believe that this is democracy and Islam. These are nations. Once again, the Middle East, when people said Middle East, always going to be the Middle East. But now democracy is trying to get in. Real democracy, and I'm not talking about historic democracy from Greece or Rome, but true democracy is based upon moral principles. In America, our culture is based on the Torah, the Psalms, and the Gospels, the Bible. This is what we were formed on, just so you guys know. This is where they got all the information. I had that book, the Treatises of Government. This is what was taught and preached in all the churches in the 1600s. Everything that came out of our Constitution was based upon what the Bible said from the Torah, the Psalms, and the Gospels. But in the Islamic world, they don't do this. We can't expect democracy to mingle in with iron and expect it to work. So why was Rome represented by iron? Oh, this is huge. Revelation 19:15. From his mouth goes forth the sharp sword, Jesus Christ, which he can smite, afflict the nations. He will shepherd and control them with a staff of what? Iron. To afflict, to strike. All throughout the Bible, iron is war. It is coming against. When Daniel 7:7 talked about the beast at the end of days, he said it was going to have iron teeth. Daniel 7:7, halfway through. And he had great iron teeth. You guys see iron? He had great iron teeth. What's he talking about? War. He's coming up against to war. In Daniel 7:7, he's talking about the beast, the Antichrist, at the time of the end. Mystery Babylon is going to take out Rome, Italy, which is the apostate Christianity. We studied this in Revelations. Mystery Babylon coming down from Iraq and Iran is going to join with that one world religion, and it's going to set up shop 42 months right into Jerusalem. And it's going to devour everyone with its iron teeth. That iron teeth is just going to slaughter anybody that gets and comes against it. In the Bible, pictures of fighting and picture of war is always represented with iron. It is a harder metal than brass and gold. If you start out with the most valuable metal at the top and you come down, you get that mixture. It's softer at the top and it gets hard at the bottom, and it's not as precious at the bottom. But when you start out with the softest metal and end up with the hardest at the top, which is at the end of days, it's iron. This shows you the progression of mankind and the progression of the empires. At the end of days, people will be tougher, harder, and they will be ready to go to war for any reason. If you watch the news at all, people will go to war if you take a toy from them at Christmas time. Every single day, people are, there's gunmen at colleges every single day. The man's heart is getting hardened. So why does the Bible talk about iron? Because it's at the end of time. All throughout scriptures, Old and New Testament, iron meant fighting, war, always agitating. He said at the end of time, this iron is going to try to mingle with democracy. Well, it's just, can't we be civil about this? No, we can't. Why? Because this is Jesus' tip-off that he's coming. At the end of days, people will be tougher. You'll find throughout God's word, he warns us it'll be a time of them. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a war, the war of Gog and Magog. All throughout passages in the New Testament, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Many will come in my name and my strength, saying, I am the Christ. Verse 6, you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this, what? Has to take place. The iron has to come out in order that we see it's at the 10 toes and it's the 10 kings, so you and I know that Jesus is coming. Why? It's not his desire that anyone should perish. And it says, he comes as a thief in the night to those who are not ready. He says, but you, Matthew 24, 33, I command you to know the signs of the times. Why do we study in the word? Because we're commanded to know. Why are we studying the end times? He commands us to. Matthew 24, 12, and the love of the great body of people will grow what? Multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. What's iniquity? Okay. Iniquity is unrepentant sin. It means no one will repent anymore. I did it. I don't care. It's not wrong. This is happening in the church. We're taking stuff out of the Bible now, right? Okay, this isn't wrong anymore. This isn't wrong. This isn't wrong. This is wrong. Bam. So now, anytime someone does that, it's called iniquity. The Bible says in four places in Revelations and two other in the New Testament, iniquity will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What is iniquity? Unrepentant sin. If someone, a Bible teacher, preacher, a book that you're reading says, this is no longer sin, I have a new revelation, run. There's no new revelations under the sun. What they're trying to do is the enemy's trying to trick you into iniquity. Because if you no longer think it's sin, there's no reason for you to repent from it. And the enemy has you. The enemy has you. But iron represents fighting and war, and it's a condition of the manifestation of man's heart at the time of the end. Bible says so. Okay. Give me 2 minutes and I'm done. It's 8:28. Here we go. This is going to be the quickest 2 minutes in your life. Pax Romano, that's an old pastor joke. Okay, if you have to get your kids, that's fine. Now we know that there was a Pax Romano. Pax Romano is not a restaurant, it's an Italian restaurant. It means Roman peace. It was a time of peace in the Roman Empire. However, they kept peace by killing people. Okay, that's how they kept peace. If a rebellion started of the land that they conquered, if you were to take anything, for instance, gold, they tracked you down and they killed you. When the Romans took over Jerusalem, they took the treasures and they taxed everyone. There is countless historical chronicled stories about the Jews swallowing gold coins that were theirs. They had to use it, right? They had to save it. But the Romans, they wanted all your money. They would actually swallow the coins and take off running. They would run through these sewer systems. This is all history, guys. They would run through these sewer systems. They would put boulders at the end of a truncated area, wait for them, come down from the top, take a knife, split their stomach open, and take the gold coins. When you read the accounts chronicled not just in history books, but in the book of Josephus, you can see how vicious they were. Imagine when they were told to go to Bethlehem and take everyone under the age of 2, pick them up, take a sword, and slice right through the kids. You guys are right? They were iron. Iron, the viciousness of iron. Matthew 2, put to death every single male child in Bethlehem, terrifying with a 2-year-old and under, reckoning according to the date which investigated diligently. The viciousness of the Roman Empire started and it continues to get worse as it goes down. Same thing is happening today. In order to keep the peace, people will be thrown into jail for being contrary to government. Do you guys not see this happening already? You won't bake a cake for me? You're fined $130,000, throw them in jail. You won't sign that marriage certificate because of your religion? Bam. See, in an effort to keep the peace, they will throw people in jail. This is right out of the Bible. What happened here is going to happen at the end of time. Do you guys see the repeat taking place? It's much far worse overseas. You think we got it tough over there? It's much worse over there. It's much worse. So this describes the nature of the end of days. These seven metals that we talked about, or the seven levels of heaven, the five different metals that we talked about as the poet brought up. But see, Daniel was told to shut the book, words of the mouth up, to seal the book, so you and I could run to and fro, search anxiously through the book, so knowledge and the purposes of God's scripture would come alive to us. So why are we studying this tonight? Because we were commanded to. We were commanded to study this. So, I got to wait till next week. I can't do this. Oh, man. There's a couple of scriptures at the end. In Ecclesiastes, we went over this. But everything for your life is found in God's word. We're not just studying Daniel in the end times. We're finding out how to study God's word. God's word defines itself throughout the rest of the pages of the Bible. God has put all things in his plan. He's put everything in there for you and I, from your marriage to raising kids to finances to how to deal with unforgiveness to how to deal with depression to for anxiety, for fear, for doubt. He has put every single thing in his word for that reason. All he's asked us to do is trust in him, to know him, to live by in faith, obedience in him, in order for him to prosper us in the plan where he's called us to go. So Jesus said, likewise, when you see all these things happening, Matthew 24 is all the signs of the end of time. He commands us to know that it is near. Know it. I command you to know it. Next week, we're going to go through and see where the modern nations are that the Bible is talking about. Next week, we're going to do the overlay of the nations that Daniel is speaking about, from the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and where are they right now on the map, and you can actually see, just like we did in current events tonight, how this thing is actually navigating, how they're actually setting up surrounding Israel right now. You guys get this tonight? Isn't God...